Vamos. Okay. So let's start. So we are going to finish the parak now, the sixth chapter. And after we finish the sixth chapter, we're going to continue into the first parak, okay? So the last Mishnah in the sixth chapter says, Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamai, everything that Hashem created in this world, le'bro'i elo l'chvoidai, Hashem created it for His own honor. Shene'emar, as it says in the Pasuk, Kol anikra b'shmi, everything created in my name, v'lechvoidi b'ra'asiv, I created it for my kavod. Yitzartiv af asisiv, that's how I created it. Ba'omer, and it says, Hashem yimloich la'olam void, Hashem will be the king forever. So this is one of the most fundamental principles probably in the Torah, that the concept is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in the world for His kavod. In other words, not that He needs our kavod, but that Hashem created everything in the world, that everything in the world is there so that we can recognize Him through those things that are in the world. Everything in the world is created with a purpose that we should recognize Him through every single item in the world. Everything in the world is there so we can recognize Him for it. Why? Not because He needs the kavod, but because we need to be able to recognize Him. And the purpose of the world is for us to recognize Him, since ultimately that's the purpose of the world. Therefore, we were created in a way that, the world was created in a way that allows a person to see Hashem through the world. That's what it means. Kol hanikra b'shmi v'lechvoidi b'ra'asiv yitzartiv af asisiv. I made everything for my kavod, meaning to say so that people can see Hashem's kavod through the world. Now, the the pasuk that we bring is Hashem yimloch la'olam vayed. Hashem yimloch la'olam vayed. Hashem will forever yimloch, will rule forever. Now there's a common pasuk that we say, it says Hashem melech, Hashem malach, Hashem yimloch la'olam vayed, right? So what does that mean? Hashem, you are the king. Melech, you were the king, Malach. Hashem Yimloch, you will be the king, La'olam Vayed. So the question is that it's out of order. Why does it say, Hashem, you are the king, you were the king, you will be the king? It should have gone in order. Hashem, you were the king, you are the king, and you will be the king, past, present, future. Why does it go present, past, and then future? It's out of order. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains as follows. He says, it's going in the order of clarity of how much of the malchus of Hashem do we see. That's the order we're trying to figure out. We're trying to figure out the order of how much malchus of Hashem is visible in the world. So right now is the lowest level. Hashem melech, you are the king. But we don't see that necessarily. We would love to see it. We hope to see it, but we don't see it 100%. So Hashem Melech. The next level is Hashem Malach. But you were once a king that we were able to see. That was in the day of Adam Arishon, before the Chait. And that was in the days of when the Jewish people received the Torah at Sinai. There was a few times in history that Hashem Malach, you ruled in a way that was more visible. Your malchus was there. It was visible, but the ultimate greatest giloy that we will be able to reveal the malchus of Hashem is Hashem yimloich la'olam vayed. That's when Mashiach comes. That will even be a greater giloy of the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That will be the greatest giloy of the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when Hashem yimloich la'olam vayed. Hashem, you will be the king. So it's not going in chronological order in time. It's going in order of how much are we megala the kavod Hashem. Hashem Melech now is very little. Hashem, you're the king, but it's not as clear. Hashem Yimloch Molach, you were once a king that we were able to see even greater, even more. But Hashem Yimloch Lelavoi, and then in the future we will see it to the greatest degree possible. That's what the pasuk is saying according to Abraham Volozhiner, and that's what the Mishnah here is saying. Hashem Yimloch Lelavoi, because then we will understand how every part of the Bria, how every part of and when Mashiach comes, that's when we will really understand what every part of the Bria, how through everything that happens in the world, we are able to attain even a greater clarity of Hashem's, you know, a presence in this world. So we end off the whole Mishnah with Hashem Yimloch La'olam Vayed. Okay? Okay, very good, everyone. So we finished the sixth parak. Yisher Koach, we finished the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. And we will now start from the beginning. Let's start back from the beginning of Pirkei Avos with the Pirish of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Hopefully it will enlighten us, okay, even more. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Turning back the book. Okay, now everybody knows. Everybody knows that when we start learning Pirkei Avos for the first time, we say and I'm gonna change something over here because I'm on the iPhone. I'm gonna change to this. Hold on a second.
Yeah, it's going to be easier this way. Okay. So, everybody knows that when we start Pirkei Avos, so we let me see. When we start Pirkei Avos, we start with the Mishnah of Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek LeOlam Haba. Everybody in the Jewish people has a Chelek LeOlam Haba. Okay, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek LeOlam Haba. Shenemar Va'amech Kulam Tzadikim LeOlam Yerushuar Etneiter Matoy Ma'ase Yada LeHispar. Reb Chaim Volozhiner here, is going to describe in tremendous detail what does your chelek in Olam Haba mean. If you ever wondered that, probably we do wonder what that means, right? We talk about Olam Haba a lot. So what does it mean, your chelek in Olam Haba? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains, and I'm going to read a little bit about it, and then I'm going to try to explain to it. He says, Ki hine yadua, it's well known, ki be'es yale al ra'ayone ish. When a person even contemplates in his mind the idea that he's going to do a mitzvah lasos rishumay lemayla umis oyer olav or makif mehakedusha, in or a spiritual light engulfs the person. It's makif the person. Makif is like a circle. A heket is a circle. The or makif. This is what Chaim Volozhiner calls the or makif. It's a light which completely engulfs the person in the spiritual power of the mitzvah. Just when you first enters your mind, the concept to do a mitzvah, immediately you are thrown into a spiritual mitzias that basically is this light, the spiritual light Hashem engulfs you in this spiritual light. And it covers you. And you're in the middle of a huloy laser. And this light helps you. It will help you complete the mitzvah. Once you thought to do the mitzvah, Hashem puts you in this light. And then you automatically will be assisted in finishing it. That light is a taste of Gan Eden. Makom Kadosh. It's a holy place. When you're doing a mitzvah, you do not live in this world. At the time that you're doing a mitzvah, you are being artificially propelled into Gan Eden, because you are in the spiritual or makif. The hakdusha malbashtoi, and the holiness dresses you by the gemar mitzvah, and when you finish the mitzvah, complete the mitzvah, yoisim is chazak halavush. It gets even stronger. Umeir, and it brightens up even more. Ve'ha'or mistalit. Then when you finish the mitzvah, that light goes. It leaves you. Where does it go? Where does that light that you just created by doing a mitzvah in this world, where does it go? Le'gan Eden. It goes up to Gan Eden. Ve'zehu schar la'asid. And that is your schar when Mashiach went in Gan Eden. So your Gan Eden is the light that came here to assist you to do mitzvos. And while you're doing a mitzvah, that light is around you. You created that light, then it goes, it's in Gan Eden, and you're going to enjoy that light in the next world. Now, I remember one time I heard a shmuz from Moshe Shapiro. Moshe Shapiro Zatzal was a person who, you know, he was a makubal, basically. You know, he really understood inyanim of Kabbalah, and he lived in a different realm. And I remember him talking about this Or Makif. And when he spoke about this Or Makif, I got the sense that he knew exactly what it was talking about. Like, I don't really know what this means, but I'm you know, Rabbi Moshe is saying it, we're reading it. But when I heard it from Moshe Shapiro, you got this sense that, like, yeah, there's an Armakif, of course. You don't know what I'm talking about? You know? Like, it was so posh to him. He lived in that realm. It was in Lakewood, the Shmuz. I remember it very clearly. So the Armakif is, sometimes you can sense it. At the time that you're doing a mitzvah, let's say Tekiah Shofar, or certain mitzvahs, at the time that you're doing the mitzvah, you all of a sudden, like, at that moment, feel a little bit elevated. That sense is that Or Makif giving you that sense. You know, sometimes you get used to it. So you put on tefillin every day, you don't necessarily feel that spiritual, you know, whatever, because we're used to it. But
we bring this Or Makif down, or it, you said it helps us.
I can't hear you. Say that again?
You said the Or Makif helps us, and then it goes up, and it's a schut for us.
It helps when you first think of the mitzvah. That's the first level. At that point, one level of Or Makif comes to help you do it. Then when you do the mitzvah, it becomes even a stronger light at the time of the performance of the mitzvah. And then when you finish completing the mitzvah, it solidifies into like a brick for your Olam Haba.
So it comes down, helps us, and then it goes up.
Right. It's a spiritual force that you've created because you decided to do the mitzvah. You've created that spiritual force. It comes around you in this world. And then, it solidifies into something that will be waiting for you in the next world.
The same thing happened with the virus.
So we're going to learn that in the next line.
In the inverse.
Yeah.
But so we're creating the Torah Makif. It's not something that's coming to us. We're creating it.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then he says, V'chein rachmano letzlon ayde avoin. When you do an avera, mizdabik boi v'soiviv oysa koyach hara. It's the same bad, darkness, whatever. V'achar ha-maisa, and after that, mistalak ha-kol again. That's what's waiting for you in Gehenna. U'muvdo meha-kedusha, and it's the opposite of kedusha. K'mo she-kasuv, avonei seichem, your averos are mavdil. In other words, this is what we said from Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner earlier. That the reward and punishment that a person gets for mitzvahs is not separate from the mitzvah. It's not like, you know, oh, clean your room and I'll give you a candy. The candy has nothing to do with the cleaning of the room. It's just an incentive. The reward of mitzvahs is not like that. You create reward for mitzvahs and then enjoy that reward. There's a Talmud, one of the students of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, the David Tebel. So I'm reading his other sefer because I'm getting into all this stuff with the Rav Chaim Volozhiner students and everything. So he writes a mashal. It's actually a piece he has in last week's parasha Baloscha. He has a mashal for this, the great mashal. He says the mashal for this is that this king hired. He saw a lot of potential in a certain, you know, not servant, but more like, I guess, you know, a person that would be his, you know, right-hand man. So he wanted to train him in. So, you know, he's training him in, and he wanted to give him work to do. He wanted to give him work to do. He wanted him to be around, because if he would be around, he would learn a little bit to trade. But he had no excuse. Well, how am I going to bring him into the palace? And what's he going to do all day anyway? So he said, I'm going to hire him to work, and I'm going to pay him. But what I'm going to pay him to do is make clothing for the royal, you know, cabinet. But when he's done making the clothing for the royal cabinet, now I'll tell him that he can wear the he can wear one of the suits. So the whole time he was sitting there making clothing for the king, but it was really for himself, because the king wanted that his cabinet member should have it, and he was one of the cabinet members. So he's really making his own clothes. And not only that he was making his own clothes, but he was being paid to do it. So he was being paid to make the clothes that he himself needed in order to be able to get closer to the king, because you can't come to the king without that cabinet, without that clothing. So he says, we get schar in this world for doing mitzvahs, that's the extra payment. But really what we're doing is we're making our clothing so that now when we get up to Shemayim, Hashem says, okay, now you can come to me. How are you coming to me? Oh, that was the schar that you were doing for yourself the whole time. But I want you to do that because I want you to be close to me. So that was the mashal. So, you know, that we're making our own clothing, but Hashem's paying us to do it because he wants us to wear it. So it's that's kind of what's going on. We're preparing ourselves in order to appreciate being with him more. Okay? Then he says, Vim Kain, Ein Manos Yoiser Godol Li Notzel Me'avoy. If a person wants to know, what is the best strategy to avoid sin? So he says, Aidei Hu Mesucha. The answer is, Maisa Mitzvahs, do mitzvahs. By doing mitzvahs, you avoid sin. Because by doing mitzvahs, you just put yourself in an Or Makif. And inside that Or Makif, you can't do sin. So the more you do mitzvahs, the more you're in an Or Makif. The more you're in an Or Makif, you cannot sin. It's impossible. And you are appreciating Gan Eden a little bit in this world. And there is no room for the Yetzirah inside that Or Makif. So the more we engage ourselves in mitzvahs, the more we are the less we are likely to do Averis, and the more we are building our own Olam Haba. Okay? This is just the beginning of the Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek. Olam Haba, we'll explain more next couple of days, okay?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very good. Yisrael Kolech, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.